The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Life was supposed to be like was kind of lame, kind of boring a little bit. And it wasn't until I met a guy named Nate. Now, I was in ninth grade when I met Nate, and then I went to a summer camp. And even summer camp, anybody go to summer camp? Okay, my summer camp experience was like this. Everybody always left summer camp crying, so I always left summer camp crying, too. I thought they were crying because they were sad. I didn't realize there were other things going on. But, like, I thought summer camp even was kind of a bad thing. And so I went to this summer camp, and this guy named Nate. Nate was a little weird. He was a little out there. But Nate was really fun. And Nate was the very first person to ever teach me that the Christian life can actually be fun. And I realized that when I talked to Nate, what Nate was telling me is that these things like, hey, listen, Jesus died to give you a new life. It's not a boring life. It's not a lame life. It's not even a life that is, like, not enjoyable. He died so that you could have a really enjoyable, good life. And it led me to this passage in Romans chapter 6. It says this, what shall we say then? Should we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as he was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We got to baptize Emily last week, and it was so cool. And our baptism church had that phrase across the front, that you're raised to walk in new life. And so, as I was reading this, the first thing I have to tell you this morning, church, is this, is that you and I have a new life. It says so right there in the Bible, and in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says this, we were raised to walk in new life. How many of you believe that? All right, hold on. We got it. Yeah. I'm going to jump over. You're right, Galen. I'm going to jump over an Easter lily this morning. I had some black coffee. Really strong. How many of you really believe a new life? I mean, like, it sounds good. It sounds cool. It sounds enjoyable. It sounds like something I want. But what does it really mean? We are raised to walk in new life. But I do want to tell you this morning that when Christ rose from the grave, what he offers you and I is a new life. It's brand new, it's exciting, it's fresh, and it's not something that's old and stale and dies and decay, but it's something that's exciting and new and awesome. And so the question came to me, why don't I live that way? My wife and I had a conversation today. What day was it? It was Friday. Good Friday. I came home. I had to go to a funeral Good Friday morning. I came home. And I sat down and I said, man, I said, Justin, I'm so sorry. I said, I haven't lived a new life. Like, I've gotten mad over the past couple days. I've said stupid stuff over the past couple days. And I've really just let, like, the old me be who I really am. And I said, I don't want to do that. And so, anybody ever feel like they're just tired of living the same old life over and over and over again? And so the idea of a new life is exciting. It's intriguing. It's something we want. But we just don't ever do it. And so this morning, real briefly, I want to look at this idea
of this new life that Christ offers us, but why we don't live a new life. The first reason I found was in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Paul wrote there this: "For do you not know that those of you who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And the first reason that maybe you and I don't live a new life is because we don't know. We don't remember. Anybody ever forget something? Where's Jim Tom at? Hey, Jim Tom, how are you, man? Not, he never forgets anything, but y'all ever forget something? Now, let me ask you this. Do you forget? What things do you forget? Anybody, what's something you forget regularly? Where your phone is? Keys? Okay, anything else? Passwords? Oh my goodness. Where you put your toys? Anything else? We forget things a lot, don't we? And so when Paul, what do you forget, man? You forget when you go outside? Hey, me too. And so when Paul says this, it's kind of like, Paul, we all forget, man. Take it easy on us. The way he says at the beginning there, that don't you know, it's not the idea that they don't know. It's that they've been told before, they've been informed, but for some reason, it hasn't sunk in. They don't remember it. They forgot what they've been taught. And so when you think about the idea of forgetting what you've been taught, I'm not going to name my kids' names because they will get mad at me later, but I've got one daughter who can forget. She can be walking from here to the back door. And in the process of walking from here to the back door, she's going to forget why she was walking from here to the back door. And she's going to start sitting down and playing with tissues, and then she's going to start finding peppermints that somebody left here 3 years ago and eating those. And, like, she gets distracted. She gets distracted. She goes outside, and she forgets what she was doing. Sometimes we get distracted, and sometimes we forget because it's new. Anybody forget something when it's new and you haven't gotten used to it yet? Somebody said passwords. What's that? Writing 24 on your text. It takes time to get used to writing 2024. Now, let me ask you this. The passwords that you use every day, how many of you forget those passwords? It's the passwords for those things that you never sign in for, and except for like one time a year you have to sign in, and then it logs you out even though you weren't supposed to be logged out because you clicked that little box that says, "Keep me logged in." But it's those passwords. It's the ones that we never use, right? This morning, church, I wonder if a lot of us don't realize that we have new life because we don't practice it, because we don't use it. James chapter 1, verse 25 says this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. After looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." See, I think for a lot of us, the reason we don't experience the new life is because we don't practice it. We don't live it. So we forget that there's a new life available to us. It becomes the routine. It becomes what we're supposed to do. It becomes the just mundane of every single day, and that's what we get to, is just focusing on getting up and doing the same thing we've always done, and we forget because we don't practice the idea that God offers us a new life in Christ. A second reason I found in there as to why we don't have this life is in chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. "For if we are united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." The second reason I think a lot of us don't experience that life is because we just don't want to die. That's the scary thing, isn't it? Hey, I mean, I'll be honest. I want to die at some point in time. There's a lot of things I still want to do. I have a lot of things I want to see and I want to experience. And so I'm not quite ready to die yet. I forget what I had done. I had some kind of test or something done. And I never forget, I was in a hospital and I'm laying there in the hospital bed. I never go to the hospital. And so laying in a hospital bed was kind of weird for me. And I'm laying in this hospital bed and they come in and they're like, "Hey, you have to sign these paperwork that say if you don't make
procedure. Here's what we're going to do.
Wait, hold on. Like, what do you mean if I don't make it through this procedure?
And I'll never forget laying in that hospital bed. And after I signed those papers that said, like, hey, listen, if something goes wrong, you may not make it through this procedure. I remember sitting out on my phone and writing out something for each one of my kids and something I wanted my wife to read after I passed. Because as much as I was like, all right, at the time, I really wasn't. And I really didn't want to die. I was like, hey, listen, if something goes wrong, maybe just put me on one of those, like, machines that keeps me alive for a while. You know what I mean? Like, life support. Until they can figure out something to keep me alive, right? See, I think a lot of us in our spiritual life are on life support. We're not really ready to die yet. When we say we are, or when we come to church, it's I surrender all, it's everything I have to Jesus, and I want to give him everything, and all those different things we say. But the reality of dying to ourselves isn't something we really want to do. Because dying to self means complete surrender. You have these passages on your notes there, hopefully. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. For you have died to this world, and your new life is hidden in Christ. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I think a lot of us miss new life because we don't want to die. We don't want to completely surrender. We're hanging on with everything we have to that last little thing, that last thing that we just don't want to give up just yet. Because if we give this up, that means that we don't know what's going to happen. Another reason I found in there is in chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. If we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. You can read the rest of it there, but that's enough. We don't believe in the resurrection power of Christ. You say, well, here on Easter Sunday, how do I not believe in the resurrection power of Christ? See, I think some of us say things like, yeah, well, there's this sin that I don't think I can be forgiven of. There's this one thing that person did to me that I don't know that I can let go of. And so what we do is we limit the power that Christ has in our life based on what we're comfortable with dealing with. We don't really believe in the resurrection power of Christ because what Scripture tells us is this. John tells us that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Romans 8:11 talks about how the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See, I think a lot of us want to limit the power of Christ's resurrection in our life. Because by doing so, we can say things like, well, I am okay with letting go of this. We can do things like put ourselves down and believe that we're too sinful to ever be saved. Some of us think we're beyond saving, and by doing that, Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection weren't powerful enough to forgive us. But all that's doing is limiting the power of the resurrection. The last reason I think that we find that people don't live this life or that you and I don't live this life is because we never truly accepted it. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23, you can read it some other time. But the gist of it is this, found in verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you will reap leads to holiness, and the result of holiness is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, a lot of us want to think that we have to earn God's love, that we have to earn God's favor, that we have to earn God's grace, that you have to earn eternal life. Some of us believe that we can be moral enough, we can be good enough, we can become well enough of people so that God will love us and he'll give us eternal life. It's not anything that you do, it's how we're conditioned. If somebody does good to you, what do you want to do back to them? Good, right? For the most part. Any Big Bang Theory watchers in here? You know Sheldon's gift thing? Sheldon hates getting gifts because when Sheldon's given a gift, he feels like he has to go above that gift. See, we think that a lot of us, we can earn God's love. We can earn God's favor. And so the reality is, well, we've heard the gospel many times. We've never truly freely accepted it because our salvation is still dependent on our good works, on what we can do, on how good and moral we can be. And in doing so, we take the faith aspect of it out, where we place our faith and trust in Christ alone, in His death on the cross, His resurrection from the grave, and that's our only saving grace, is in that, not in who we are or how good we are. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 14. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on one who they do not believe in? How can they believe in one who they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? This morning, if I could tell you one thing, it's this. It's that new life is available to you. It's available to you because of what Christ did on the cross, what He did when He rose from the grave. And this morning, maybe you're here and you've heard it, but you just don't remember it. Maybe this morning you're here and then you've heard that time and time again. You've been to so many Easter services, you can't even begin to count them all. But it's never been something you've practiced in your life. It's never been something that after Easter, you're daily walking in a relationship with Christ. It's something that you kind of use when you need it, but then you forget about it. And it becomes hard to put into practice because you've forgotten it. Some of you this morning, I think you're here, and really, this new life sounds great, but I don't know that I want to die. I don't know if I'm willing to give up just yet. I don't know if I'm willing to surrender my life to Christ and say, God, listen, what you want from me, where you want me, I'll go. What you want me to do, I'll do. My life is hidden in you. Some of you are here this morning, and I think that you kind of like limiting the resurrection power of God. Because it gives you that crutch, it gives you that excuse, it gives you that reason for not letting go of certain things. This morning, I think there's some of you who may be here who you've heard the gospel a thousand times, but it's never clicked. It's always been about what you can do to earn your way to heaven. This morning, I want to share with you, you can't do anything. It's all been done for you already. When Christ died on the cross, when He rose from the grave, everything was done, and all you have to do is place your faith in Him. It's that simple. It's that easy. It's so simple and easy, a child can do it. The difficult part for you and I is letting go that we can't control it and saying, God, it's on faith. I take your salvation. I accept your gift of grace. This morning, if you've never made that decision to accept God's grace based solely on your faith, that's the reason you're here today. You say, no, I'm not. My wife made me come. No. Well, my mom and dad, they cooked this really good Easter supper after this. But in order to do that, we had to go to church with them. I know. But that's not why God has you here this morning. God has you here this morning because He needs you to hear that there is a new life that's available to you. All you have to do is in faith accept His forgiveness of your sins. Believe He died on the cross in your place and He rose from the grave to offer you a new life. And in that, you get new life. And guys, if I can tell you anything this morning, it's this. Man, that new life's worth it. When you and I start to grasp and we start to understand and we start to truly live in that new life, you can't ever go back, but you never want to. This morning, if you've never made that decision, or there's another decision on your heart, I want you to know we're here as a church to pray for you. Make Easter 2024 something different. Walk out of here with a new life. Life, an incredible life, a life that excites you every morning when you wake up. That's the life you'll find in Christ. God, this morning we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for giving us the chance to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the grave. Lord, we know that in that you've given each and every single one of us that's here today new life. So God, my prayer this morning is simple. It's this. room who has never received that gift of salvation. God, if it's not during this time of invitation, it's later on throughout the day when they're around family and friends. They ask someone, what does it mean to be saved? How can I have that new life that God was talking about? And Lord, the answer will simply be by faith alone in Christ. God, for the one that needs to just surrender who they are to you this morning, for the one that needs to practice this idea of living a new life, God, I pray that during this time, your words would speak to our hearts like only they can. God, that we would walk from this place differently than we walked in because of what your Holy Spirit is doing in this time. Lord, help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.